Back Talk is an extension of the award-winning movie review show, It's Movie Time, which airs on Fridays at 4:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, the podcast features additional content and banter with guests. Back Talk is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie podcasts on NPR.
Oh, Mary, I love that. Can you imagine? We're sitting here in the top 10 of National Public Radio.
And who are you?
I am John DeSando, and this is Back Talk. Well, Mary, besides being one of my top reviewers, you also are a lady who's very familiar with music. Now, I say this because there are boards you sit on, including currently you're on the board of
Pro Musica Sustaining Board.
And your husband, Bob, is a past president of the board.
He's a past president of that board and the Pro Musica board itself. Yeah.
Becoming Led Zeppelin. And you know the strange thing? He loves this Led Zeppelin.
He does.
How does he do that? This man has got so many faces.
Well, he loves music in general, but he was raised in northern New Jersey at a time when all of the greats that you now consider part of classic rock and roll were playing all the clubs, particularly for him, the Asbury Park Convention Center, Fillmore East, the Stone Pony in Asbury Park. So he, as a very young man in high school and college, got to experience all the greats, including Led Zeppelin. So he was very excited. I know he rarely goes to see movies, but the movie Becoming Led Zeppelin was definitely in his wheelhouse.
And Mary, can you show our video people?
I will.
Your little souvenirs.
So he also happened to save all of his ticket stubs. So this is from the convention hall, Saturday evening, August 16th, the 9:45 p.m. show for $5.50. He got to see Led Zeppelin and Joe Cocker open for them.
Mm. Can you imagine people were paying $2,500 to see the Chiefs and the Eagles?
I think Bob got a better deal.
I think he did. And you have a sheet there with the songs?
I do. So back in the day, you know, this was a young band, and that's what this movie covers, is basically how they came together and made their first two albums. And so they were touring the United States in 1969 after the release of their first album, while they were working on their second album. They were really just going from club to club to club to club. And they played seven songs that night, four of which were covers of others, and two of which they actually wrote themselves. They also did an encore as well. So they opened with The Train Kept A-Rollin', which was the first song they ever recorded together.
Good one.
I Can't Quit You, Baby, Dazed and Confused, which was a cover of a Jake Holmes song, which later became very much associated with them. They wrote White Summer, Black Mountainside. Then they did You Shook Me, which is also a cover. And then one of their original songs, How Many More Times, plus Communication Breakdown.
But lest people be disappointed, you're not going to have Stairway to Heaven.
No, and that was their fourth album, unnamed, although most people refer to it.
So keep in mind, keep in mind that what you have are the first two albums through 1969. They even tell you in the title, Becoming Led Zeppelin.
They do.
So they're very specific. If you love their music, you will love this documentary.
I would agree. I actually had to put in noise canceling or noise reducing earplugs. My husband did not, and he was rocking to this and totally loved it. It's in IMAX format. And at first, I don't know how you felt about the format, because you're telling the story of this band and a lot of the footage has been uncovered. It's the first time it's being seen. So it's not IMAX high def quality, but yet it's on this huge screen. And
do you think that is because of the sound that they put in such a big...
I think it's partially because of the sound. I think they want you to feel like you're at a concert film. But when they did show the footage of, I think it was three or four of their songs, one, they showed them in their entirety. So you had these long
unusual
music pieces, very much so.
Yeah.
They wanted you to feel like, I think you were in a concert. And so it made sense that they used the IMAX format for that, where I thought it was less effective, although I loved the interviews that they did with the three surviving band
members. These are three charmers.
And
Bonham
and legends.
Is, you're right, Bonham is dead.
He's
the drummer, the acclaimed drummer.
Yeah.
They had one interview, I think, that they
So
played.
He was very famous for not granting interviews.
Well, he didn't,
But sometime during the 1970s, he did an interview for, I believe, Australian radio or
television. That's right, it was, yes.
And Bernard McMahon, who had received numerous accolades for his project American Epic, which was a series of films documenting early U.S. root and folk music, probably about 100 to 120 years ago. Very well received, lots of awards, and this was his next project that he pitched to Jimmy Page, Robert Plant, and John Paul Jones. And they, for the first time ever, agreed to have their story told in documentary format. So this is a rare opportunity to hear their story of how they came together. It covers first two albums because it's after the second album that they really became very established and successful. Because as we see in the film, they cut their first album, they go and sign a big record deal in the United States with Atlantic Records, and credit to Jimmy Page. He conceived of the album concept.
Page is a pretty cool guy.
And was smart enough to retain complete creative control at a time when record producers and labels were not letting
you do that.
Mary,
you're so right. This is authorized.
Yes.
Because you're not going to see anything else other than this one.
Exactly.
So it's curated in a way that if you're into the history of how bad these boys were.
This is before they became really bad.
And they were legendarily bad. But they don't. Page has got real control over this. So
and he and John Paul Jones, I learned a lot. I mean, I know Led Zeppelin's music because during the 70s and 80s, and so you heard a lot of Led Zeppelin music during that time. And we're more familiar with their later reputations as opposed to earlier, but Jimmy Page and John Paul Jones were session artists, very well established, very successful.
That's right.
In fact, John Paul Jones had worked on several film scores, had worked on recording Goldfinger with Sarah Bessie.
Yes.
And so I learned all of that backstory, and it makes you really appreciate it. And it was the intention of Bernard McMahon, the writer and director of the film, to really showcase for young people that you can make your dreams come true and the hard work that it takes to do that. And I think if your expectations are you're going to see the beginning to end story of Led Zeppelin, you'll probably be disappointed. There's no dramatic arc to them becoming bad.
But I feel there's a second part coming.
Bob said the same thing.
Yeah.
He said, I think they're going to do a sequel.
They don't have to. It doesn't promise that they're going to do that, but it's just waiting there for you to do it.
For the rest of the story to be told, I would
agree. In my theater, this was in Easton, was almost full.
Yeah.
And you said yours at Lenox.
Yes, the Phoenix 24 Theater. It wasn't probably as full, but it was pretty full for a Saturday afternoon.
Look at Mary, any day now in theaters when you can get a crowd like that.
Yeah.
You show that if there are movies, they will come.
Yes.
If they're the kind that they like. And that's why when you ask the question, how do they stay in business? They stay in business because of tentpoles. These are the ones that hold them up so that they can have littler films. AMC and Phoenix, which I really think is still under the control of AMC. It really looks and smells like AMC.
Okay. That's way too much information if you're smelling the theaters.
Right. But I think that it's going to continue because I think they're very smart in how they do that. And they do keep it going for people like me and Wayne and you when we, professionally, we have to do this.
Well, and like we were talking about the format of this film in IMAX, it really immerses you in what that early, almost renegade feeling concerts must have been like, because this was a completely new sound. In fact, Led Zeppelin today, they're considered the harbingers of heavy metal and hard rock. And you really get immersed in how they came together, who their influences were, and that they believed enough in themselves as a group for Jimmy Page's vision as to where he could take the guitar and where he could take this band in terms of their storytelling through their music. And they did it. And Robert Plant, as a lead singer, had had some success at that point, but not much.
Mm-hmm.
He became a songwriter by being with his bandmates in Led Zeppelin. So you really see them blossom as artists and become what we know today as the classic rock and roll, you know, one of the best-selling rock and roll bands of all time, Led Zeppelin.
And when you look at it, first of all, you're going to be reminded how remarkable they are as human beings, how great they look as old men, and even John Paul Jones looking very much like Bryan Cranston.
He did a little bit, yeah.
Well, it's the furrows in the cheek. But anyway, they have their charm even now in this age. Mary, what do you suggest?
I suggest that if you love rock and roll and love music, this is a story worth hearing and worth a trip to the IMAX theater.
And let me repeat, you're going to get plenty of music. This is not one of those that cuts in and out. It is. It'll give you a couple of songs that are complete from the stage, and it's thrilling.
Yes, even though this didn't have the arc that you see in a lot of films about bands and ultimately coming to their demise, the one thing that I truly appreciated was Robert Plant, John Paul Jones, and Jimmy Page often were hearing John Bonham's interview for the first time, and they caught
reaction.
Their reactions on film and kept it in the documentary. It just was very bittersweet, but also very heartwarming. And you don't say that often about rock and roll films.
That's right, heartwarming. I love hearing about how they got that name.
Yes. According to John Paul Jones, it was suggested by Keith Moon.
Yes.
And they couldn't come up with anything better. They had originally formed as the New Yardbirds.
Yes, yes, yes.
Which they, after they got together and the film shows, they went to Sweden, I think Stockholm, to play a short tour.
Yeah.
And they went under the name of the New Yardbirds. When they got back and were getting ready to release their first album, it's not as clear in the film, but I learned later that they basically were sued by the Yardbirds or the founder of the Yardbirds.
Right.
That it was that they were only supposed to use the name for the Stockholm tour. They had to come up with a new name really fast. And apparently Led Zeppelin was chosen because it was thought that they might sink like a lead balloon. And so they changed it to Led Zeppelin, and they dropped the A's so that people wouldn't think it was lead.
Right, right.
And they couldn't come up with anything better.
Yes, right.
So Led Zeppelin it was.
So Zeppelin would go down in flames, and Moon thought that they would.
Yes.
And it was a prediction.
Yes.
And then they just took the A off.
Well, I think it was interesting, again, showing how they became the Led Zeppelin we know today. The film does show that when they first came to the United States to tour with Vanilla Fudge, they weren't bringing in big crowds. People weren't necessarily responding to their music. And they were actually told by their agent when they got to San Francisco, because they started on the West Coast and worked their way back east in early 1969. If they didn't make it at Fillmore West in San Francisco, they were done.
And the curious thing is, they had to make it here before they could go to Great Britain.
Before they started working on their second album, they actually show them going back to the UK and playing Middle Earth, which was a place in a television show for music. The audience is not sure what to make of them. The kids are putting their fingers in their ears. Not well received.
One of the things that I loved about this documentary, now that we're talking Becoming Led Zeppelin, frequently in works like this where you're talking about artists, I so want to see their process. I want to see what happens, and you don't often get it. You did hear how open they were to a new arrangement for themselves and how, as geniuses in their own right, they knew almost immediately that they had something grand going. And it was just getting together and trying. You mentioned this in our previous discussion on it's movie time. It's serendipitous. And you get somebody like, who was it, Plant, or which was the one who, was it Jimmy, or who was it that spied that they had something really?
I think it was Jimmy Page, actually said it, and John Bonham in his interviews that they were able to capture and play, that they knew that they had something really special, because Jimmy and John had played together before, and Robert Plant and John Bonham had played together before. So you had these two pairings that came together, and John Paul Jones heard that Jimmy Page was forming a new band after he had performed with the Yardbirds, and then the Yardbirds broke up. And he actually asked if he could audition for it.
Jones is such an interesting guy. He was the voice of reason somewhere amongst the three of them.
Could have been.
He could have been. He has a pretty level head in this. I love how they are who they were then. Mellower, of course they are.
Sure.
But I love the nostalgia about who they were. And they have good feelings. And while you're not going to get them as the bad boys in this one, that's why I'm so anxious. Bob and I are anxious to have part two of this so that we can see, because they became the emblem of hard rock. They were something completely new in music. Now, you thought the Beatles owned music, and then all of a sudden, we have Led Zeppelin, too.
Well, and I think, as we talked, the importance of Jimmy Page's vision, when they signed the agreement with Atlantic, he retained complete creative control.
Yes.
When you think about the Beatles' early work and how they came to popularity, they weren't really retaining their creative control. They were controlled by their producer and their label.
That's a good point.
And so that's why, I mean, not that we don't all appreciate their work and can sing along to the radio when She Loves Me comes on. That's a completely different type of vision of the talent and work that they had. They eventually were able to move in the direction that they as artists wanted to move. But Led Zeppelin came together specifically for that purpose. They were in complete control and actually knocked out their first album without a label producer.
Yeah.
They recorded it themselves. Jimmy Page hired the people to help mix it, and he himself mixed a lot of their early albums. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that continued. So it really shows how not only as artists, they created what was a new sound, and seeing Jimmy Page like creating on stage in his guitar solos, like using the bow, and it's amazing to watch.
And smart as they were, they knew that they actually had the physiognomies for this. And I think particularly who was the prettiest of them all was, it wasn't Page, right?
Robert Plant.
Plant
the
was.
Lead singer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the long...
He was good looking.
Yeah.
I have to say, I saw him last summer sing with Alison Krauss up at Toledo Zoo's amphitheater. And if you see him now, he's a man in his mid-70s. He still has the long hair, but, he's...
Well, he had a very slender body. There's the androgynous look at that time. And
he had
another rockumentary, and I don't know that many of them, is Gimme Shelter about the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever saw that.
I have.
And do you remember anything about it enough to
Not
make a
lot.
Comparison? Now?
But we did review Once We Were Brothers, which is Robbie Robertson's documentary about the band.
Yes.
And that is the type of documentary that went from... It focused on the Pink album. They were already together as a band, but it focused on making of that album, which was their seminal work, and then through the end of their relationships and breaking up. And it's really told from Robbie Robertson's point of view.
Very well done.
But that was very well done. And having seen The Last Waltz as well, which was about their last concert in San Francisco, that had the arc of their creative zenith and then their downfall. This has the arc of them developing as artists and coming together and creating something new and very special in the history of music.
And The Last Waltz is worth seeing. It's the Martin Scorsese.
It is.
Production.
yes.
But as you said, with Once We Were Brothers, when you have Robertson in charge of that, really, there's some good nostalgia, maybe a little, from his point of view.
Yes.
Whatever it was most engaging. So if you like this kind of thing, and everybody wants to see about the Rolling Stones, or Give Me Shelter. 2019, Once We Were Brothers. So Mary, we've been together at least...
We have. I think we've been together since 2017.
Get out of here. Really?
I think, yes.
Mary, wow. It goes really fast. I've enjoyed every minute of it.
Me too.
In 2018, Bohemian Rhapsody, you must remember some of that.
Well, I do, but that's a fictional take.
Ah,
it's not a documentary.
Yes.
So, some of that I'm sure was surmised. Even though Queen was very involved and gave their permission for that film to be made, it's still a fictionalized version of basically Freddie Mercury's life and the life of Queen.
Yeah.
It's not documentary footage.
Yeah, so that's a film worth seeing. And I think they captured the spirit of the eccentric rocker. Music was so different in a sense.
Yes.
Right?
I mean... Queen's music was very different, and his voice was very different. But without Led Zeppelin, is Queen able to produce Bohemian Rhapsody? I mean, I actually thought of that when I was listening to Jimmy Page talk about doing an album and not doing singles and having a vision for what an album being played in its entirety, which, believe it or not, they did. On the radio in the United States, they played that album, both sides, start to finish, back when rock and roll radio was just coming into being. Mm-hmm. That's how they became popular in the United States first, before they went back and were able to conquer the United Kingdom, their home country.
Well, closer in 2021, we had a documentary about the Sparks Brothers, didn't we? Do you remember? Did you ever see that?
I did not. No, okay. So tell us about it.
Yeah, it goes through 5 decades of their work. Ron Mayall and Russell Mayall celebrating the legacy of the band. Sparks, a musical odyssey, rambling.
I should say, five decades is a lot to cover.
It's really fascinating, see, because their music is different from the music. We've had 3 different kinds of music here, Led Zeppelin, Queen, and then Sparks. So we've got, over the ages, we have music evolving in ways, who would have thought? Now, you and I are both classical music people as well.
Yes.
And that's my first love, that and folk music, which I grew up with.
Yes, and I'm a big fan of folk and root music as well.
Yeah. You say, where else besides classical music can this go? And when you look at these 3 different, and there's more, you can see how variable music is,
absolutely,
how malleable it is.
Even this year in the Oscars, in the short documentary format, the first female member of the New York Philharmonic, her story is documented nominated. I believe it's playing on Netflix. But the stories behind music and artists and the creative process, they're all fascinating. And Martin Scorsese, who was a close friend of Robbie Robertson and used him almost exclusively for the soundtracks to his films, also has created a lot of great documentaries related to rock and roll. Peter Jackson did the Beatles compendium, I will call it, 2 years ago. Even Ken Burns has done country music documentary on PBS just a couple years ago as well, which I found fascinating. So these stories about creativity and how music melded together are out there. And if you love music, I certainly think they're worth seeking out.
In the movie that we have been discussing, Becoming Led Zeppelin, here's a movie that almost everybody in your family can see. Because remember, we have warned you, this is only the part when they were much more conservative. You don't have to worry about there being anything objectionable in this one.
No, they were all around 20 years old when they came together, started forming this band that became Led Zeppelin, and they were young men pursuing dreams and believed enough in their talent. At that point, Jimmy Page and John Paul Jones had been more successful than John Bonham and Robert Plant, but the fortuitousness of the four of them coming together, really connecting artistically and being able to give us the gift of their talents over the next roughly 11 years, and that we have these recordings and now we have their story behind how they got started. It's really a very rich history to tap into. We haven't talked about John Bonham's death. He died in 1980 as they were preparing to record a new album and were on tour in North America. After his passing, they made the decision collectively as Led Zeppelin that that was it, that they didn't feel they could go on without their friend. And so, unfortunately, we will never know what might have been had they been able to continue as Led Zeppelin. But what a rich history and now rich stories they've left for us to explore and help understand their music, the music of that time and that era. Because after all, it's the arts that we look back on, for the most part, that defines the eras of human history.
It's a fine example of collaboration that really works. And there's not the incendiary business that Freddie Mercury brought to Queen. You have here a really good working relationship amongst them, at least as I see them in this documentary.
The fact that how they ended of not wanting to go on without John Bonham, because they recognized that the four of them together were what made Led Zeppelin,
yes,
and the respect they had for each other as artists. And I know we referenced earlier when Jimmy Page, John Paul Jones, and Robert Plant are hearing John Bonham's voice in these interviews for the first time where he's speaking about them,
yes,
and their music, the fondness that's in their eyes and the expressions on their faces really shows you how much respect and love they had for each other. And that's refreshing to see in a story about a rock and roll band, quite frankly.
Well, Mary Arena, thank you. The documentary is Becoming Led Zeppelin. Mary, as you didn't hear our original It's Movie Time, Mary warned you that it's loud music,
yes,
but that in fact they're not going to be toning that down because their music was loud.
It was loud. And I think it's the intention of the filmmaker, Bernard McMahon. He wants you to feel immersed, like you are at Fillmore West.
Yes.
Or in my case with my husband, you were at Asbury Park Convention Center in August 1969 to hear them live.
Bob Redfield is our John Bonham.
Aww.
He's out there. He's out there somewhere, but he's not with us. But his spirit is
He doesn't
with us.
Grant interviews.